You're tuned in to the Women Truckers Network, the first trucking radio program hosted by real women truckers. The Real Women in Trucking is a 501c6 driver organization whose mission it is to deliver highway safety through leadership, mentorship, education, and advocacy. You can learn more about becoming a member at www.realwomenintrucking.org.
Good afternoon on this chilly December day. At least it is where I am.
Yeah, it's warm here.
We want to welcome you to Women Truckers Network on Wednesday Wellness Show with our coach, Carolyn O'Byrne. She's a life coach, colon hydrotherapist, and author of the great book, Gut Instinct, written with truckers in mind. Check out her website at lifecoachservice.net. All statements made during these calls are suggestions only and are not meant to be medical advice. We would like to thank our sponsors that can be found on our website, www.realwomenintrucking.org. So thank you for being here today. I'm sorry we're missing a couple of our people that are usually here, but maybe they'll jump on in when time permits. Today we're going to be talking about better choices for holiday meals. So why do you need to eat right? I think we all know the answer to that question. And the main answer to that question is you want to feel good. I know you want to feel good. You know you want to feel good. You want to be happy with yourself inside and out, and you want to have optimal weight. You want your mind to be clear and not foggy, your emotions to be stable, and believe it or not, all these things that you want start with what you eat, which determines the condition of your gut, which then results in the quality of your health. So logically, you know that you need to do better with how you eat, me included, but many times you just don't. So if you know that you need to eat better and what you need to eat, the only thing left is to convince that tape recorder in your mind to quit choosing the wrong foods. So if you've covered all this, why to eat right and how to eat right, what's left to do is make a plan and be convicted. Those words are easier for some and harder for others, but regardless if it's easy or hard, I will guarantee it's worth it. Today I'm going to go through some of the traditional holiday foods and give you some ideas on how to prepare them in a gut-healthy way to promote overall good health. Now, if you have any personal favorites that I haven't covered, feel free to mention it. Feel free to chime in. I will do my best to give you a healthy alternative to your old-time favorite. Now, there are some out there that there's no hope. There's not going to be a healthy alternative. But if I can come up with a healthy alternative, and actually I'm pretty good at that, then I'll be happy to help you out. I'll try my best. How about that?
Sounds good.
So I'm going to leave sweets for last so that we don't all have to stop what we're doing and go run and find some kind of store or cabinet. Or because talking about food will make you hungry. It's kind of like Donna mentioned the other night at a radio show. You don't go to the grocery store when you haven't eaten, when you're hungry, because you'll buy 10,000 things more than you really need because everything looks good.
Yeah.
And so I should have put on the social media post, be sure to eat before this call. So everybody usually thinks of turkey when they think of a holiday meal. We pretty much have the same exact meal for Thanksgiving and Christmas. It doesn't change really because we like it so much and we don't do it more than twice a year that we just want to make sure we do it both times. But turkey, many people do some things to their turkey that make it less healthy. Some people add breading stuffing, and it is really good. It is good. I'm not knocking the fact that these things aren't really delicious, but we really don't need all that bread. The bread is starch, and starch is sugar. So just get your turkey, put it in your baking. Most people bake it in the oven. I have this gigantic roaster that I bought probably 15 years ago. And baking my turkey in that gigantic roaster has been the best thing ever because it does a great job baking it. And it's over there baking while I'm being able to use my oven for every single thing that I need to, because it's really difficult to be cooking your turkey and needing your oven at different intervals for different things going on when you're cooking. So that has been a wonderful thing to me, is to have a whole separate thing to cook the turkey in. But what I do is I love herbs, and I'll just cover that turkey in rosemary most of the time. But if rosemary is not your flavor that you like, think of a herb that you really like. Most herbs will actually be a good alternative to some kind of flavor. Most people have a favorite type of flavor that they like. And here's another trick that I've done before. When we're peeling the apples for apple pie, after I've washed the apples super, super, super good, and we peel them, I'll throw the peelings in there with the turkey. And that gives it this natural little sweet, not much at all, you can't usually hardly tell it, but it just gives a little teeny tiny hint of difference to the turkey. It's really good. And sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. This last time, the apple peeler, I asked specifically, did you wash the apples? And they said no. So I didn't throw the apple peelings in there because I didn't want to put unwashed peelings, because apples are super sprayed and covered in bad stuff.
Do you get the organic apples, or are they hard to get where you're at?
Sometimes I can go to the store and they're very available and very decent priced. And sometimes I go to the store and they're not available, or they are so expensive that it's not even worth it. So
if I
have an opportunity, and usually I do, if I have an opportunity, I buy the organic apples. Walmart now is selling the 2-pound bags. Usually you buy apples in the 3-pound bags. But they're now selling, or the one that's by me, they're now selling the 2-pound bag apples, and they're $2.97.
Yeah, that's pretty
good.
That's
a good deal. Yeah. So, and then Aldi, huh?
I noticed Walmart has a lot of organic fruit.
Yeah, they're starting to get the picture, thank goodness. And then Aldi now is carrying organic apples, and they're still in 3-pound bag, and they're usually $4.99. Sometimes they'll have them on sale, but they're usually $4.99. But anyway, that's a really neat trick to give a little twist to the flavor of the turkey. If I didn't tell you and you ate some of our turkey, you probably wouldn't notice. But I just enjoy doing that. So I throw some apple peelings in there. That's just a neat twist of an idea. But there are several herbs that you can put on there, and herbs are not only very yummy and flavorful, every single herb has a nutritional value. They've got vitamins and minerals and nutrients. They've got healing qualities. Rosemary, if you ever get interested, if you like rosemary, look up medicinal benefits of rosemary. You will not believe it. You will not believe how good rosemary is for you. So I'm all about incorporating herbs every chance you can, not only to give it a pop of flavor, but to give it more nutrients and healing. Most of us use most of us have potatoes at Thanksgiving, and I'm not saying that potatoes are the bad guys, but overall, this country eats entirely too many potatoes, usually made in forms that with too much butter and cream, and or they're fried like French fries, or they're casserole with all kinds of ooey gooey stuff that's not good for us. But so you can do some plain potatoes, but what we have been doing for years now is we make cauliflower potatoes. And all it is you chop up cauliflower, clean it, wash it real good, chop it up, steam it until it's super soft, and then make it just exactly like you would make potatoes. But we don't use dairy at my house, but we would put a little bit of olive, well, you could use olive oil, but we usually use a little bit of coconut oil and salt and pepper and cream them up, and kids love it. My whole household loves it. And that is a very highly nutrient alternative to what we would normally have that's a high carb, which are potatoes. Because this all that we're going to be eating on Thanksgiving or Christmas typically are going to lean toward the high carbs. So if you can do something to take out some carbs, and cauliflower potatoes will do that, then that's that many less carbs that you're getting in your whole meal on your whole plate. Because we usually put way too much on our plate. Well, I do anyway. The baked green beans, I think I have mentioned baked green beans before. I know I've mentioned it in many different arenas of where I talk to people. But it is the most simple dish in the world. And I make it every time we have sit-down guest company, almost every time. I make it for Thanksgiving and Christmas. I make it all throughout the year. It is so good, and it is so simple. You just get the whole frozen green beans. You can let them thaw or not. It doesn't matter either way. Put them in a pan. Sometimes I spread them out on a long baking sheet type of pan, and sometimes I just put them in a great big old cast iron skillet. Drizzle some coconut oil over them. Salt and pepper. That's it. Or sometimes you can put herbs on it. You could do rosemary. You could do, I'm trying to think what other herbs you could put on. You could put lemon. What's that lemon herb? I can't think of what it is. It's lemon something. And whatever is your favorite herb, again, put it on there, or nothing at all. Just salt and pepper is good enough. And just bake it in the oven until they look really, really done and they're soft. And they are so good. Very low carbs, very high nutrition, not fried, baked. Great addition to a wonderful meal. Mm-hmm. Deviled eggs are another thing that a lot of people have during the holidays. Deviled eggs, they are very easy to make more healthy. Instead of using the soy-based mayonnaise, you can either find a really, really good, healthy mayonnaise alternative that has the good oils in it, like safflower oil or avocado oil. The mayonnaise that you see in the grocery store that says olive oil, check the ingredients. There might be a hint of olive oil in there, but it's not any better for you than the others, because the main ingredient is the soy oil.
Yeah.
And you want to stay away from the soy. Not only because it's not good for you anyways, but it's usually genetically modified. But if you can't find a good mayonnaise alternative, use mustard. If you are a mustard lover, put some mustard in there. Forget the mayonnaise. Mash it all up and put it in your eggs. You can add chopped up green olives. You could add chopped up pickles, and watch out on the pickle ingredients. But however way you typically make it, use mustard instead. We've done that for years, and it's really good. And if you don't like mustard and you can't find a mayonnaise alternative, guess what? take those egg yolks, mash them up, put olives or pickles or whatever or nothing, maybe just salt and pepper. And that's it. They turn into a mush all by themselves. They really don't need an added ingredient. That's a really easy.
Where do you get the mayonnaise with the avocado or safflower oil?
We have a Sprouts store.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes order it, but mostly I get it at the Sprouts store. So if you have any chain, now mom and pop, it depends on how big your mom and pop health food store is, if they might carry it or not, but Sprouts, Earth Fare, Whole Food, Fresh Market,
okay.
Can you think of any of those, any more of those types of stores? Those types of stores are going to carry the safflower oil mayonnaise, the avocado oil mayonnaise. I'm trying to think of any other oil. Some of them carry non-GMO canola oil mayonnaise. We have some issues with canola oil, so I tend to stay away from that. But as long as the canola oil is non-GMO, it's not the best choice.
Right.
But it's okay.
It's a better choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a...
Go ahead, Idella. Hi, Idella.
Hi. I apologize for being late. I was unloading some precious metals. I typically add, if I don't use brown mustard in my deviled eggs, I typically add a little quarter teaspoon of a little bit of raw horseradish, ground up horseradish,
oh,
if I want a little kick to it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love horseradish. I've never thought about putting that into deviled eggs. Thank you so much. That's my new experiment. I absolutely love horseradish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always put just a dab of horseradish in it, you know, in my wet mixture before I mix it up in the eggs.
So you actually buy a chunk of horseradish root and you grate it in there?
No, I buy organic horseradish already ground up.
I've
never seen it.
Jar.
Just the only time a horseradish, the only kind of horseradish I've ever seen is either the root that you literally grind it yourself, or the horseradish that looks like mayonnaise.
No, that's not one.
No, this looks like almost like sauerkraut ground up.
Yeah, it's in the refrigerated section.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to have to look for that. I'm making myself a note right now. Look for refrigerator area horseradish. I love that stuff.
Yeah, and it's.
I haven't had that kind, obviously, because it's new to me, but any kind of horseradish. I've tried grinding it or putting it on a grater myself, and for some reason it just doesn't have that pop of flavor. It's just, I don't taste anything. And then I don't want to buy the mayonnaise kind because it's got all those funky ingredients, so I've just gone without horseradish, even though I love it.
Well, go no more.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Idella.
You're welcome.
What were you going to say before, Donna?
I was going to ask about, I don't want to get you off your track. I just wanted to ask you about the oils. Frying, first the mayonnaise, which one tastes better, avocado or safflower oil, or are they about the same? And the second question is, there's a portion of our Christmas Eve dinner that gets fried, and I use... sunflower oil or safflower oil. Which one do you think is better?
Well, coconut oil is usually a really good one for the heat. Avocado oil is actually a high temperature, not really high, not way high, but a higher temperature oil. Like olive oil, I wouldn't even cook with it.
No.
Its temperature is so low
right.
that you really don't even need to cook with olive oil. But avocado oil actually has a pretty good temperature. I can't remember the temperatures for the safflower or the sunflower. I'm not sure. I can't. Those aren't in my memory bank right now, but I'm sure you could look them up and find out their temperature. And I would go with whichever one had the highest temperature.
Yeah. I know they have a lot of omega-6s in them.
But
still, I mean, it's like that's our big meal of the year, and there's a portion of it that you can't get away from frying certain things, like the oysters and the squid, the calamari that we make. So, you know, you just have to get it. So anyway, I was just curious. I didn't mean to take you off track.
And the mayonnaise? I don't dislike the avocado mayonnaise at all. I don't dislike it. But if I had to pick which one tastes better, the safflower one tastes better to me.
Okay. Okay, good.
All right. Are we off the are we done with the eggs?
We're done.
I'm still excited about the horseradish. It's going to take me a minute to come off that high.
Yeah.
Okay. So veggie trays. A lot of people will have a relish tray, but relishes often are filled with a bunch of ingredients that we don't need. And so how about trading that? And some people still do veggie trays, and that's a good thing. But how about trading the relish tray for a veggie tray and trading the bought, very bad ingredient, ranch dressing or honey mustard? And I can give you great, great recipes on either one of those for good, easy. Both of them are as easy as can be. The ranch dressing homemade is simply a good quality mayonnaise that we just talked about, a little bit of salt, add a little pepper if you want to, some dill and some garlic and onion powder. And then I put water. You could use like coconut milk, almond milk. I just add water because it's going to have that thick mayonnaise consistency. Mm-hmm. And I just drip. It's really easy to get it too runny. So just drip little amounts of water in there and keep stirring it, and a little bit more, keep stirring it until you get the exact consistency that you want, and it is wonderful. And then that's for the ranch. For the honey mustard, y'all won't believe how easy this is. You get the cheap mustard, just the cheap stuff. You can get, if you want to be adventurous, you can get any mustard that you want to. But if the typical honey mustard, get the cheap mustard and some honey. And then you stir it up, and you can put a little bit of salt if you want, if that, taste it. Taste how it seems to hit your fancy. Sometimes we add a little bit of onion or garlic powder to it. Sometimes we don't. That's it. And it's really good. Now, if you wanted to have that more mayonnaise-y, less kick of honey mustard, you can add a little bit of that good quality mayonnaise in it.
Mm-hmm.
We like the kick of the strong mustard. But some people like that mellow mustard flavor. Then you add your good mayonnaise to it, and that mellows it right down. It's that easy. And when you get honey mustard at the store, there's just this forever list of ingredients that are not okay.
Right.
So, and you could put either one of those or both in the center of your dip for your veggie tray. And I'll tell you what, people are in such a bad habit of not eating their vegetables that when you put a veggie tray out there and it looks all pretty, it gets gone.
Mm-hmm.
People will eat it if you offer it. So think of that not only for company, but think of that for yourself. If you have this little, you could make you up some mini veggie trays to take on the road or have available that is already kind of veggie tray looking. Maybe throw all the veggie tray stuff in a Ziploc bag in different increments and have it ready and available. It's so colorful. It's so pretty. All that stuff is finger food. And that's what you need in the truck is finger food many times. Why not?
Yeah.
So, all right, on to frozen vegetables. A lot of times we'll have everybody has their favorite side dishes of vegetables. We already talked about the green beans, but sometimes people will have butter beans or lima beans or peas or steamed broccoli. Those are very good. Just plain. Now, I'm sure most of you can tell I might be from the South with my how I talk. Here in the South, they will cook a vegetable to death and add a whole lot of some kind of fat, usually vegetable oil, and don't get me started on that, and a ton of salt. That's not even necessary. Believe it or not, vegetables are really good just cooked with a little bit of salt.
Yeah.
Try it. Maybe not everyone listening is so much from the South as I am, where they cook something to death, but just sample, just get some frozen vegetables, cook them until they're done, strain out most of the water so that you're not diluting the salt and the water. Put a little bit of salt on it, and if you can, possibly use the Himalayan pink salt. Such a difference in your health. Such a difference. And I've got a blog. I have a blog on my website, lifecoachservice.net. Go to my blog. I've got a whole write-up about the Himalayan salt.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
I've heard that that's really good. I'm going to read that.
It makes a big difference. That the white salt that you have on the table traditionally or at the restaurants or what they put in your food that's processed, terrible. It's just really hard on our health. Our bodies don't know what to do with it. It's a foreign material, and it causes swelling and all kinds of different things. It's hard on your heart. It's hard on your kidneys. It's hard on your liver. It's stressful for our bodies.
How about kosher salt?
Is that mined and it comes straight out of the earth just like that?
I'll tell you the truth, I don't know. All I know
I don't either.
I just hear like on the Food Network, they always say use kosher salt. So I don't know.
I haven't really looked into that. I think it would be worth looking into, but I haven't.
I don't mean to interrupt, but there was one kosher salt I saw at a grocery store in Colorado. It said it was from the Red Sea. I don't know, but that particular brand, I don't know if that makes a difference, but I happen to remember that one, but I don't know the name of it.
Okay.
I would think
if it makes a difference, it's from the Red Sea. I don't know, but we mine ours in the ground, whereas other countries like the Middle East, they actually get it out of the water and let it dry.
Right, and that's the best way to do it, actually. It's got all the minerals and nutrients that we need. See, ocean water and our blood has about the same salt ratio. And if we went back before man polluted everything, ocean water and our blood is very similar, and that's so interesting to me. I read that one time, and I thought, wow, that is such cool information. And if you think about that, it makes sense of why the sea vegetables are so good for us, because they're grown in an environment that is almost identical to how our blood is made. I mean, ocean water doesn't have blood cells and all that, but I mean the salt ratio, the mineral ratio and all that. So I thought that was very interesting. So sea vegetables is not on my list today to talk about, but if any chance you get, if you can get a good quality sea vegetable that comes from a clean water source, a clean ocean water source, if that exists anymore, they are so, so beneficial to your health. Okay, so we talked about just plain old vegetables, adding them, and that also puts more stuff on your plate that's high nutrients and not a whole lot of carbs and other additives and junk that you don't want. And sweet potatoes. I know I've talked about sweet potatoes several times on here, and I think I've even told this trick of the sweet potatoes. And since I've mentioned this trick, I've heard other people say, yeah, that's how my mom did it. Well, I had never heard of this before, and it was a complete accident that I figured it out because time got away from me. But if you will bake sweet potatoes in whatever you're baking it in, when it feels done, like you can stick a knife in it and it's all soft, put the lid back on it, give it about 5 minutes to heat up the area again, and then turn it off and just let it sit for at least an hour. So plan ahead that you're going to be able to let your potato sit. And there's some magical fairy dust that comes in on that last hour that it's sitting that pumps up the sugar, the natural sugar in those potatoes. It just brings it out. And there, my sweet potato dish has one ingredient. That's sweet potatoes. And when I did, I already tell y'all this story. Tell me if I did, and I won't say it again. Okay. Nobody spoke up, so you're in trouble. That first time years ago that I accidentally did this, I was in a tizzy. They just sat in there. Everything was kind of, it was one of those days where nothing was coming out at the right time, and it was Thanksgiving, and I had all this company coming. And so I didn't even have time to stick it back in the oven. And used to, what I would do is I would add brown sugar, and then I would make this nut thing and put sugar in the nuts and then put the nuts on top and then put it back in the oven and bake it some more. Well, this time I just peeled those things, mashed them up, threw them in the pan and set them on the table. That's it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't tell a soul what I did. I wasn't going to say anything because I thought, okay, there's a few other things not going right here. I'm not saying a word. And mm-hmm. So afterward, they're like, Mom, what did you do to those sweet potatoes? And I thought, oh, no, is it good or is it bad? Those are the best sweet potatoes you ever, ever made, ever.
Wow.
And so from that moment on, one ingredient, sweet potatoes. Best way. And I'm a little bit picky when I'm picking my sweet potatoes at the store. I pick the ones that are the brightest orange. You know, sometimes you'll get to the sweet potato area and they're not very orangey. They're kind of yellowy looking.
Mm-hmm.
Those have less nutrients. Those have been farmed way too. They've been grown on a farm that they've been growing sweet potatoes too long, and they've taken all the nutrients out of the earth. So if you can choose and be a little bit picky, because usually when you buy sweet potatoes, they're in a big old bin and you just get to pick whichever ones you want. Try to pick those brighter orange ones. The more color toward red, you're not going to find red sweet potatoes, but the more red direction you can find, get those. So that cuts out. Think about how much sugar I was putting in there before. I was putting sugar in it. I was putting sugar on it. And sure, they tasted good to me at that time, but oh, sweet potatoes are just good all by themselves. And then roasted vegetables are beautiful. We've done all kinds of different mixtures with roasting vegetables, from Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cauliflower, those green beans, onions, slices of garlic, cubed sweet potatoes, any kind of squash that you can think of. Trying to think what else we've done. There may be more,
we always use the three-colored peppers, the bell peppers.
Peppers, yeah, you can put
slice them up and roast them. That's really good.
Oh, yeah. You can put peppers in it. But any combination of those, whatever's in the fridge, whatever suits your fancy on what's your favorite vegetables. I will tell you this. When you add the cubed sweet potatoes to the roasted vegetables, it puts the wow factor in there. If you like sweet potatoes, it adds a wow factor to the roasted vegetables. But anyways, once you roast vegetables and you put them in a bowl, they are gorgeous. And that's a really pretty dish to have on. And I make my roasted vegetables exactly the same way as I make those green beans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me say, it's exactly the same way, except for here's what I do. I throw all the vegetables in a gigantic bowl, and then I drizzle the coconut oil over them and mix that coconut over in instead of kind of drizzling it on the top while it's already in the pan. I really mix them in real good so that every one of them is able to have just a little bit of oil on them, and then I put them in the pan or on the long sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And then just roast them until you can't stand the smell anymore. And then it's time to get them out and eat them. But that's a really good, healthy addition to a Thanksgiving meal. My family prefers, we're talking about cranberry sauce now, my family prefers that cheap can jello-y looking stuff that you cut up with no berries.
What,
and
the,
that
cranberry sauce?
For the cranberry sauce, yeah. That's what they prefer. And that's got, if you've ever read the ingredients on there, it's just terrible. It's got corn syrup and horrible things. So I have found, and that's probably our biggest cheat for the holidays,
mm-hmm.
is that can of cranberry sauce.
Isn't that funny?
But I won't buy that kind anymore. They now have organic, and it has real cane sugar, organic cane sugar in it, which I'm not saying that that's okay. It's not okay. But that's our biggest cheat of the whole holiday, is that cranberry sauce, because they love that stuff.
Okay.
But my dad makes it homemade, and he adds sugar to it, and he always brings some with him because he likes that kind better. But I made a big suggestion to him this year about making it different, and he was actually open to the thought. He said, yeah, I think I'm going to make it different next year. And it's real easy to make. You just get the cranberries and you shred them up. You can probably make it in the food processor. And he puts rind and all of the orange, like the peeling and all, in there. He cuts it up, and he takes out kind of the hard, the more fibrous, chewy white stuff on the inside, you know, like the middle section. He kind of cuts that out. So he puts, other than the chewy white stringy stuff inside, he takes that out, but he puts the whole rest of the orange juice, peeling and all. And then he adds sugar, and that's it. So I suggested to him to add way less sweetness and add honey instead.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, he said that he would do that next year. So I'm looking forward to his new invention for cranberry sauce. But one of mine will eat that kind, but she can't. We realized she couldn't eat it. She had it on her plate, but oranges break her out real bad. And so she was eating it, and she thought she tasted orange, and she said, Papa, is there oranges in this? And he said, yeah. She said, oh, no. But so the only one that really likes it can't have it.
Can't eat it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always make my cranberry sauce, and I do it similar to your dad, except I put orange zest. I just zest the orange. I do use the orange juice. And then I put a cinnamon stick in it and let it cook.
Ew, that
and
sounds good.
We'll, next time, I use the organic cane sugar in it. But I think I'll either put the honey or the agave syrup in it instead and
mm-hmm.
see how it goes. Because what happens is if you chintz on the sugar, which, you know, I usually do, I figured, well, we don't have to have it that sweet. What happens is it won't get thick. There's something about the may. So I bet the honey or the agave would make it thick. And anyway, so that's, you know, my thoughts on that.
Okay, thanks. I've never made it. Daddy always makes it, so I haven't ever seen the need to do it. So, and most of my bunch doesn't like it anyway, so.
Right. We grew up on that canned stuff, so I know what they mean.
Yeah.
You're listening to Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back after these few messages.
What's a woman to do when she is discharged from the Army, loves a challenge, and wants career security? That's what Redaway truck driver Misty Warner asked herself when she was 21 years old. The answer, trucking. Redaway is hiring women who take charge and want the freedom, pay, benefits, and the security of driving a truck. Get more information about a truck driving career at redaway.com on our careers page, or talk to an expert on our hotline, 866-582-1320. Misty and a growing number of women like her are getting behind the wheel of a career that's always in demand.
Hi, my name is April, and my dad is a professional truck driver for Rennie Transportation in St. Joseph. We have this great passenger program, so over Christmas vacation, I even get to go with my dad in his new super cool lime green semi-truck. Maybe he will let me honk his horn. Honk, honk. Cool. I really love that he gets home weekly so he can spend time with me, mom, and my stinky little brother. I heard my parents talking about how the pay and benefits at Brenny are the best in the industry, whatever benefit means. Oh, and Brenny is a Minnesota top 100 workplace. My dad even won a safety award last year. I want to be a professional truck driver like my dad when I grow up. Listen, I know I'm just a kid, but I'd say if your mom or dad is a professional truck driver like my dad, they better check out Brenny because they care a lot about trucking families. Hey, good buddy, we'll catch you on the flip side. That means see you later in Trucker Talk. Truckers are so cool.
To learn more about driving opportunities, call 363-6999 or visit BrennyTransportation.com.
You're tuned in to the Women Truckers Network, the first trucking radio program hosted by real women truckers. You can learn more about becoming a member at www.realwomenintrucking.org.
And then gravy. We can't leave out the gravy because everything on our plate's got to be covered in gravy, right? Well, most people nowadays may not even know how to make gravy, and they use those packets of gravy.
Yuck.
You just add water and thicken it up, and oh, the ingredients in that, again, are terrible.
Tastes nasty, too.
It does. But the younger bunch, they just don't have a clue. They don't know. My friends, I'm 47 years old, and my friends don't have a clue how to make it.
Mm-mm.
And I'm teaching them. My friends, I've been shocked in my little circle of age group people on how they don't know how to do this or this or this. I was trying to think of another example, but I was talking to a friend about something that is just as common as anything that anybody eats, and she said, no, I've never made that homemade, and I about fell on the floor. So even my age, they just don't know, because it all started getting processed and packaged about that time frame when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. I had to teach all my nieces and nephews how to make gravy.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. My mama didn't know how to make gravy. We only had gravy when my uncle would come.
My mom made the best, and it always looked exactly the same color, same texture, and tasted so good.
And it's so easy. And so I'm going to give you some alternatives to make it less carbohydrate, better for you. You just take that broth out of the turkey, that turkey broth, and you put it in some kind of pan. And instead of using cornstarch, which is typically genetically modified and it's very, very high in starches and carbohydrates, tapioca flour works exactly the same. And you can buy it. Used to, it was a little difficult to find, but Walmart has it. And it's not very expensive. And so you use tapioca flour exactly the way you use the cornstarch. And for those that might be listening that might not know how to do it, you either take out some of your gravy that can cool off and cool it off, because you always want to put it in a cool liquid, not a hot liquid. But if you don't have time for that small amount to cool off, just get some water and put your tapioca flour in the water to dissolve it, and then pour that into the gravy, and then keep it on like a low to medium and stand there and stir it. And then add some salt and pepper, and that's it. That is it. And you've already got that. You've done your turkey right, so the broth out of your turkey is all healthy and good. And you're just simply using that. Now, for those of you that are super into gut health, get a really high quality gelatin. There's only one that I have. Well, actually, there's a few more now. When I was searching a few years ago, there wasn't any other alternatives. But Great Lakes Gelatin is one of the best brands that you can buy. Don't get Knox, none of that stuff. None of what Walmart has, don't get it. But you can put pretty big amounts of gelatin in that gravy, mm-hmm. and you have no idea that it's there. It doesn't taste different. It doesn't look different. You don't even know it's there. And gelatin is so good for gut health. It's so good for your joints. If you've got stiff, achy joints, when you do that regularly, you will see a difference. It's good for all your huh?
What's the name brand? What's the name of it? What's the
brand
name?
Great Lakes. It's Great Lakes Gelatin.
Great Lakes Gelatin. Okay, I'll
mm-hmm.
probably order that online.
Yes, you can order it.
Put it in what?
You can put it in the gravy. Now, I put it in all kinds of different things, but I'm just, since we're talking about gravy, you could probably put, if you're making 2 cups of gravy, which isn't very much at my house, but
right.
you could put a tablespoon of it.
Okay.
And you wouldn't even, not one person would know. And so I did it several times without telling anybody in my house. And then finally, when they had eaten it several times and they didn't even know it, I then told them, hey, this thing is full of gelatin, just so you know. Oh, that's cool, because I really didn't like it the other ways.
mm-hmm.
So they didn't even know. But there are so many things that you can add it to. You can add it to your smoothie. You can make homemade Jell-O as a treat for yourself. You can do all kinds of things with it, and it really does help with gut healing, with joint, connective tissue, all your inside tissues, like the inside of your sinuses, the inside, your mucus-forming tissues, like your sinuses, your digestive tract, including your colon. Very good trick there to add.
okay,
so I'm done with the food that's not sweet. So if y'all haven't eaten already, this is going to, you're going to have a hard time not pulling over now and grabbing a snack, because it's hard to talk about food and not want some. But I want to talk about sugar for a minute before we get into the desserts. We are not designed to need any meaning zero, none, zilch, any added sugar at all, period. The only sugar that is natural to our bodies is actually already made into the food that we eat, like apples, pears, bananas. And this funny example came to my mind. I hope y'all can connect this. It's connected in my mind. I hope it connects in your mind of how it's related. I don't know if any of y'all watch Andy Griffith or The Waltons, but both of those shows had a set of sisters. On The Waltons, the sisters had the recipe. And on Andy Griffith, they had the elixir.
mm-hmm.
And what I'm not talking about alcohol here with me, but they always made it okay because they would come up with a new holiday.
mm-hmm.
They would come up with, oh, it's turnip greens holiday season. Oh, it's pet your dog holiday, and they would just come up with all these kind of holidays to have an excuse to have some of the recipe. And so that's what came to mind when I was thinking about this. Sorry if you didn't get that, sorry about that. But we don't need any sugar, and if we can know that logically, then when we see those added sugar things, let them truly either never be in your diet ever, or let them truly be a big-time special treat, like holidays, or give yourself a treat once a month, or if you can, least case scenario, once a week. If you can say, okay, on Saturday I get a treat, or pick your day or whatever, and think about the amount of sugar overload that you're preventing in your body. Think about how much your pancreas does not have to work that hard. Think about how much you're not feeding all that candida that's very likely controlling your brain of thinking of how much you need something sweet to eat, or something starchy, or something chip. chippy that actually turns into sugar. And so keep that in mind, that we really don't need any food ever with added sugar to it. All right, so these treats are going to be made, the ones I'm going to talk about are going to be made with much more healthy ingredients, much more healthy ingredients. But it doesn't mean that they need to be eaten on a regular basis. So let's talk about pecan pie, one of my favorite things. We have made pecan pie with no crust. Now, some people think the crust is the best part. And if you think that, try it without it. And if you can't get away with no crust, then the health food stores now are carrying gluten-free crust. I'm not crazy about it, but a gluten-free crust has got better ingredients than a traditional pie crust. But take that. The most well-known pecan pie recipe that I know of is the recipe that's on the back of the Cairo syrup bottle. And I've always used that recipe in the past, but what I've done is I have taken that recipe and tweaked it to be having more healthy ingredients. So instead of the amount of Cairo syrup that they say, I half that amount, and I use a half and half mixture of honey to maple syrup. So I don't have the recipe in front of me, but I'm going to guess here, so I might be wrong. If they say a cup and a half of Cairo syrup, then go to 3/4 cup of sweetener, total 3/4 cup. And in that 3/4 cup, I do half and half honey and maple syrup. The reason I do that, you don't have to do the half and half. You can do all honey, which I've done before, all maple syrup, which I've done before. But what I've found with a half and half, and I don't dislike either one of those flavors, but when you half and half it, it kind of neutralizes the fact that it's a honey or a maple syrup, and you just taste sweet. Excuse me. You can't really tell that it's honey, and you can't tell that it's maple syrup. It just tastes like a real sweet flavor. And then you add the eggs, which there's nothing wrong with that, and then whatever oil that it calls for, you choose a healthy oil. I always choose coconut oil. So you've got the sweetener, you got the eggs, the oil, vanilla flavoring I think is in there, and dump it in a pan, a greased pan with no crust, or if you're a crust person, then get a real good, better choice on your crust, and then put the pecans on top and bake it. It is just as good as any pecan pie you have ever had. It's wonderful. Now, it still has high sugar, so keep in mind it's not something we need all the time. Pumpkin pie, same thing. I take the pumpkin pie can of pumpkin, and I look at the ingredients of how to make pumpkin pie, and I just trade them out. Instead of using sugar, I'll use honey or maple syrup. I think it calls for an egg, if I'm not mistaken. I guess I should have had these recipes in front of me. But my point here is, take the traditional recipes that you've always used, or grandma always used, or mama always used, or Aunt Betty always used, and look at them real close, and you can probably turn that recipe into something that's so much more healthy. So take the can of pumpkin, add a different sweetener, I believe it has eggs, and don't do the crust. The crust is just one more added thing, and the inside goo is the best part anyways, in my opinion. Just grease your pan, dump it in there, and bake it.
Sure.
And then the spices of the pumpkin pie are actually very, very good for you. It's got the cloves and I don't know what other spices go in it, but whatever those pumpkin pie spices, we talked about herbs a while ago. These spices are herbs, and they're very, very healthy for you. Pumpkin's healthy. Herbs are healthy. Eggs are good for you. coconut oil is good for you. So except for the fact that you've got a little added sweetener to that pumpkin pie is actually a really good choice. And I love pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
So pumpkin pie and apple pie are probably going to be your two best choices if they're made in a healthy direction, because they're something simple. It's a simple food that's from the earth, and we've just done a little tweaking to it, and that's why they're so yummy and so healthy at the same time. And apple pie is my next one on the list. This one is so simple too. And usually these more healthy choices are so much more simple than the unhealthy choices, because the unhealthy ones usually have all these extra ingredients in there that are not even necessary. But with the apple pie, you just cut up your apples, put a little tiny bit of some kind of maple syrup, honey, or whatever, a little bit of lemon juice, pinch of salt, apple pie seasonings and spices. I don't ever put a thickening agent in there. My grandma used to sprinkle a little bit of flour over the apples. I don't ever do that, and it turns out perfectly fine. But if you did want to do that, you could use that tapioca flour, and it would probably work just as well.
Yeah.
And then put it in your dish. It does not need a crust again, and bake it. Now, one thing I like to do is I like to take a bunch of different nuts, like pecans and walnuts. I don't think I've done almonds, but that would totally work. And crunch them up, like put them in the food processor or however way you can chop them. And maybe mix just a hint of honey and cinnamon or something and coat them. And you could pour that on top. And that would give this really neat crunch on top. You could actually put it on the bottom and press it down on the bottom and have just a little bit of a hint of a crust just made out of nuts. That would be good. And then chocolate pie. I know Donna was picking my brain on this chocolate pie the other day. I'm going to tell you how I used to make chocolate pie and how I now make chocolate pie. This is the most simple thing ever in the world. I used to buy the Oreo cookie crust that's already made. Just a black crust. And then I would get a whole pack of Hershey bars and a tub of Cool Whip. That is it. That's all the ingredients. Mm. You melt the Hershey bars on low heat, probably with some water under it, that way if you can. Get those Hershey bars right to the point where they're just melted, at the lowest temperature possible, but they're still liquid, and you fold in that Cool Whip. And then once you get it all folded in and even, you dump it in the Oreo pie crust, and you stick it in the freezer. Let me tell you, that is the best chocolate pie. It is so good. So what I have done is I took baker's chocolate, the 100% baker's chocolate, and I melted it. And I added some coconut oil because baker's chocolate is hard as a rock, not softer like a candy bar. So I added some coconut oil and some maple syrup, and I melted it down. I don't know if y'all have overcooked chocolate before, but in this case, it's really easy to get that overcooked, thick consistency that happens if you overcook it, so be real careful. Mm-hmm. And then now they have this new Cool Whip. It's by, I think it's by Sobe, but it's coconut. It doesn't taste coconutty to me. Maybe it might to somebody else, but it doesn't taste coconutty to me. It tastes just like Cool Whip. Actually, it tastes better than Cool Whip, the bad for you kind. And you just buy it in the store. It looks like it's in a Cool Whip bowl. It looks like Cool Whip. It tastes better than Cool Whip. You just fold that in. And what we did for the crust is my daughter made some pure chocolate cookies, just pure chocolate cookies out of almond flour. And when they were done, we crushed them up and mixed a little oil in there with it, and so that it would be like able to spread out on the bottom of the cookie sheet or on the bottom of the pie pan. So we made that as our crust. This was what we had a crust with this time. And you dump that chocolate Cool Whip mixture in there, stick it in the freezer. That was so rich that you could just get like a tablespoonful and you couldn't take any more. It was so good. So I cut it in about 16 pieces of that, you know, so I just kept cutting and kept cutting and kept cutting to where it was just a sliver. That was enough, and it actually lasted 2 days, and that's a big deal for a chocolate pie to last 2 days at my house.
Hey, what did you sweeten the chocolate with?
I used maple syrup.
Okay.
Now, you can buy candy bars that have decent ingredients, and it's not Hershey's. There's actually one brand called Lily's. I love their candy bars, and they are sweetened with stevia, and the ingredients are good, and they're delicious. Now, you can use those, and it would even cut down on the sugar even more. You can, if you go to these health food stores like Sprouts and Whole Food and all that, they've got a whole candy bar section in the baking, I believe. Nah, I don't know if it's on the baking aisle or not, but it's in the candy section. And you can buy, they've got all sorts of different candy bars. The darker the chocolate, obviously, the less ingredients. So you want to go as dark as you can because that gives less sugar. But if you wanted to do the candy bar and not go with the baker's chocolate, you could do some of those candy bars and melt them down that way. Just be as picky as you want to be with the ingredients of those chocolate bars. But they do have much healthier chocolate bars available now.
And what was the name of the healthy Cool Whip?
Sobe.
I think it's Sobe. Hang on. Let me put Coke. I've got my computer right here. Let me just look it up to be sure. I think it is Sobe. S-O-B-E.
Okay.
I'm going to put in coconut Cool Whip. And probably that's going to be the first thing that comes up. It is so something. It's so delicious. So delicious is what it's called.
That's the brand, So Delicious?
That's the brand, So Delicious. And the picture of it's coming up, if I can do a better job to explain it to you. It's called Coconut Cocoa Whip Light by So Delicious. It's the same exact Cool Whip bowl that you're used to seeing of the bad stuff. And this particular one I'm looking at is pink. I don't remember what color the bowl was. I just knew that was the one I wanted. And if I can get the ingredients here, let's see. I actually think it has a little tiny bit of organic sugar or sugar. And for some reason, I'm not seeing the list of ingredients. Usually if they've got food, they've got a list of ingredients. But for some reason, I'm not seeing it. But the manufacturer, the brand is So Delicious, and it's in every big health food chain that I've ever seen has it. And it's in the stand-up freezer section, you know, the freezer section with the doors?
Yeah.
It's in that section. So look in that area. Look. It'll be around pie crust. If you see pie crust, you'll probably find it.
Okay.
But anyhow, I think we're about out of time. Did anyone want me to try my best at one of their favorites to give you some healthy suggestions on switching it over from the traditional way to a healthier way?
Well, I would just like to, on cookies, right? I bought almond flour and I have gluten-free flour. I'm going to try a few of my recipes, exchange of flour, maybe just make a single batch and taste. But on the almond flour, do you use more, less, or the same?
About the same. Coconut flour is where it gets real tricky. So if
oh,
you
I know.
Ever
I found
decide,
that out.
Yeah. If you ever decide to use coconut flour, go by the recipe until you get used to it, because what you think, you might need a cup, you might need a fourth of a cup. And
right.
I don't know how it magically does it, but it does. How a fourth of a cup makes enough to replace a cup.
But pretty much. It grabs all the moisture. It's very hydrophilic. And I did it once, and I just messed up the entire, you know, recipe. So I looked it up of why it did that, and that's what it said. It said it just absorbs the moisture so that it, like, grows into this. It was horrible.
Right. We make a chocolate chip cookie on occasion out of almond flour. And anybody, it'll be like if we're going to an event and we're supposed to bring a dessert or whatever, that's what we bring. Unless they have a nut allergy, because they can't touch it if there's a nut allergy, 100% of the time people are just going crazy over those chocolate chip cookies. They are so good.
I bet you they're better.
They are really good. And they don't taste like, you know how there's some kind of little cookie that they have at Christmas time that's real strong almond flavor that's got the almond extract in it? Not even that kind of flavor. Not an almond flavor at all. Just a yummy, wonderful chocolate chip cookie like you think a chocolate chip cookie ought to taste like flavor. And they're crunchy. So they're good. Now, when they come right out of the oven, they're chewy gooey. So get one then, too. But as they cool, they're not crunchy like a cracker. You know, they're not like break it apart and it's going to crumble all over the place like a cracker. But they're crunchy. They're crunchier than they are ooey gooey. And you can make gooey ones. Huh?
How about the gluten-free flour? Can you use that the same as all-purpose?
You can. Years ago, when I was going toward the gluten-free thing, I did start using gluten-free flour.
Yeah.
And it works real well instead of flours, except for what I found was gluten-free made us feel better. Grain-free made us get better.
Yeah.
You may have heard me say that before. So it just depends on where you are in your journey. Grain should not be the enemy, and I won't get on my hype about this. I'll just say 2 seconds about it. Grain should not be our enemy. We should be able to eat grain and be fine. But because of what they've done to the grain and because of the condition of our gut, because of all these antibiotics that we've had to take over the years and the different other medications that so many people have had to be on, our guts can't deal with it. We're almost a society that can't tolerate grain anymore because of what has happened. It causes inflammation. It causes all kinds of issues. So I don't even buy the gluten-free flour anymore. But, yes, it will work. Yeah, it works real well.
Okay, so it's the same measurement.
Okay. Same measurement.
Okay.
Any other thoughts, concerns, questions, ideas?
How about cheesecake, Carolyn?
Cheesecake. There is a way to have a better cheesecake. And you won't believe what it's made out of unless you've seen this recipe. Actually, on my Facebook page very recently, because Sierra posted it and tagged me on it, and I looked at it and I thought, and I think when somebody tags you, it automatically goes to your page, so it's there. But I think I even reposted it. But you take cashews, and you soak the cashews in water for, I don't know, an hour overnight. I don't know exactly how long. And you use those cashews as your quote-unquote cheese base, and then you add a few ingredients to that. And I've had it before. I have had some cashew-based cheesecake, which is absolutely no dairy. It is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So there is a way to do cheesecake. And there's a lot of here's what to do. Look up online and put in vegan, V-E-G-A-N, vegan cheesecake. I'm not saying that you're a vegan. If you are, that's fine. If you're not, that's fine. But look up vegan cheesecake, and it will have that recipe. You'll love it.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay.
Did you have something else to say, Donna?
I'm just thinking that I think I'm going to stick with my five packages of Philadelphia cream cheese.
Well, suit yourself.
You know, you make it once a year, you know, and I don't know. I just, everybody looks forward to it, and I guess I could do an experiment with the cashew, because I can't eat cashews. I just read a month ago that people with Crohn's disease should stay far away from cashews. So,
because of the constituents of the chemicals in it, or because of that they're nuts?
They're not a nut. They're actually a bean, and
well, yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
And I went on this great big thing about if you have Crohn's, you shouldn't eat beans at all. And cashews are beans. So,
okay.
On the other hand, you know, we're not supposed to eat dairy either. So, 6 to 1, half dozen to the other, right?
Right, yeah.
And anyway, but I think for everybody else, you know, they look forward to it. I would like to try that cashew thing just to experiment, because I do like to experiment with different things.
Yeah.
But
Sometimes if you ever get a chance to go to these real super healthy restaurants, or sometimes the health food stores, the big chains, will have specialty foods that are already made, like over in the bakery department or whatever, and they might have a little thing, and you could taste a little taste of it without having to make a whole one. But I will tell you this food for thought. This might be why they're talking about Crohn's, and it may not be related. But cashews have natural chemicals in them that act very much like the name of it just went out of my mind. What's that anxiety drug that almost everybody uses?
Well, it's either dopamine or
Xanax. I thought it started with a Z. It's a medicine that they prescribe.
Xanax.
Maybe it's not a Z. Is it Xanax?
Zoloft.
Is that anxiety? Zoloft?
Zoloft.
Maybe that's it. It acts very much like an anti-anxiety drug. By all means, go online. Search cashews. Eat cashews for anxiety, or medicinal benefits of cashews, or something like that. And it's very, very similar to the anxiety drugs that they're giving you. Now, it's not going to hurt you if you eat cashews and you don't have an issue with it, and it's not going to make you so zoned out and mellow. Yeah, that you can't function. But they have natural chemicals in the cashew that helps with anxiety. Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little homework for you if you have anxiety or know someone that does. Actually, I must not need anxiety medicine, because it kind of wires me up. If I eat cashews, I have a hard time sleeping. I guess it's the opposite of me, because I'm always so mellow anyway. So I'll eat them and they kind of wake me up. But I know something was in there, and I knew they affected me weird way before I knew the anxiety thing. And so that just gave me more assurance that, yeah, there is something to those cashews that can affect your body. So check it out if you're interested.
Okay.
All right. Well, we are past time, but it's so fun to talk. So I'm glad we got it all in. Thank you so much for your participation. I always love that. And this was a fun thing. I hope you all don't go raid the cabinets after talking about all this yummy stuff.
You know, I'm almost thinking about a hybrid of that chocolate pie. Supposing if we use the Hershey candy bars with a good Cool Whip.
Well, let me know what you think. Try it and let me know.
Okay.
Just make sure you have a whole lot of company, because that's